views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Get fired up for Spirit Fire Radio with your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer. Get ready to shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in these modern times. Bring purpose to your life through practical spirituality and add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. Now, here are your hosts, Dorothy Riddle and Steve Kramer.
Hello, and welcome to Spirit Fire Radio. It's so great to be kicking off another season. We're happy that you, the listeners, are joining in on the conversation. And just to let you know what's really exciting about this second season, it's a little bit different. This season is a collaboration. Spirit Fire has joined forces with the School for Esoteric Studies. So together, we're going to bring you a new show every single Wednesday. And you might recognize the name of my co-host, Dr. Dorothy Riddle, as we've had so many juicy, enlightening conversations on past episodes of Spirit Fire Radio. So I'm so glad she's here. Dorothy serves as the chairperson for the board of directors for the School for Esoteric Studies. So she's going to be their ambassador of sorts for this radio show. She's an award-winning author, an activist for social change, a psychologist. And, well, me, I'm just simply humbled and grateful that we're going to be working together. So, Dorothy, welcome.
Thanks, Steve. I'm very excited about this season and delighted that we're doing this as a collaboration.
Me, too. It's going to be great. The School for Esoteric Studies is just such a wonderful organization, so amazing at taking complex ideas and making them simple and taking the sort of hidden and making them apparent, bringing them out so we can all use them. So it's such a treat. I'm so glad we're collaborating. And, you know, we're going to talk about spiritual principles and the ways that you can apply them in your everyday life. It's very similar to what we did on the first season of Spirit Fire Radio, but this time we're going to talk a bit more about the spiritual path and consciousness, what it takes to cultivate consciousness. So each month, we're going to explore a different topic. So we're going to have four shows covering a specific spiritual concept or an aspect of consciousness. And we'd love you to participate. So if you, the listener, are really engaged by one of our conversations and a question comes to mind, we'd love you to send it to us. And we're going to take time out. We think at this point on the last of the 4 weeks to answer questions, but we'll see. Maybe there's great questions that we want to answer that are relevant to one of the topics during the month. So if you go to spiritfireradio.com, there's a button there that allows you to send us a question. So we'd love to hear from you. We've got great topics for this whole year. Each month is going to build upon the last. So some of the topics are goodwill, harmlessness, compassion, discernment, forgiveness, and they're just going to build until the end of the year. We've been on this great journey. So, Dorothy, let's get started.
Yes. But I'm particularly delighted that we're starting this month with a focus on understanding our human family, because unless we really understand ourselves and what we're about, we make inaccurate assumptions about what our life can be like and how we can move forward.
Totally. And, you know, that's a big subject, right? Understanding our humanity. Like, how do we zoom out to really look at ourselves as a whole? I mean, that takes effort, right? To look at ourselves as a family or as a kingdom, the human kingdom. So Dorothy and I asked ourselves, well, who asked these kind of questions? You know, who asked questions that will come to those kind of answers? And we came to the conclusion that really, yes, indeed, spirituality asks those questions, but science asks them as well. Both science and spirituality ask, who are we and what's our purpose and why are we here? So it's fascinating. We're going to talk quite a bit about science on this show today.
Mm-hmm. And what's particularly interesting, Steve, is the term esoteric, which a lot of people are not that familiar with, or it may make them a little bit uncomfortable. What esoteric, the School for Esoteric Studies, is really about is looking at the subtle energetic dynamics behind the dense material world that we are so aware of all the time. And we do that grounded in ageless wisdom teachings, which are the teachings that underlie all of the spiritual and religious traditions. And Spirit Fire does the same thing. So that's our commonality. But what's particularly interesting to me is that through the years, metaphysics, esoteric studies has had this focus on the subtle energetic. And what quantum physics is showing us now, and has over the last 150 years, is that that is who we are. We are energetic beings. And we're going to get into that in more detail, I know, in just a few minutes. But I just think it's so interesting that when you talk about spirituality meeting science, if we were talking about the old Newtonian physics, that wouldn't be true, because that was very geared to believing that the dense material world is what it is reality, whereas quantum physics has shown us that reality is really the energetics behind what we see in the dense material world.
Yeah, we've come really a long way, and it shows that we are evolving, that science is evolving. And what a particularly interesting time right now. I know that Amit Goswami, Deepak Chopra, even the Dalai Lama, they've all written books with quantum physics scientists, with quantum physicists and quantum scientists. So it's so interesting that we're at this point in time in culture and in humanity's history where these two are really converging, right? Where science and spirituality are finding this common language. And it has so much to do with the structure of our reality. So Dorothy, I know you know a lot about the structure of our reality. We got into this quite a bit on the past shows with Spirit Fire Radio. To our listeners, Dorothy has written an amazing series of books, and they're called Enough for Us All. So they talk about these principles, these universal principles that govern our reality. And there are seven of them. So we're going to talk about that. I'd really love to go deep into that for this first show. And Dorothy, do you want to introduce just them by name? I think it would be great for the listeners to hear them, because each word holds just this really wonderful energy.
Sure. And for our listeners, this is the first book in the series is called Principles of Abundance for the Cosmic Citizen. Cosmic Citizen because we are actually part of this gigantic cosmic energy field. We all are. So in the principles of abundance, the seven principles, which we'll then talk in detail about, are interconnectivity, that we are interconnected energetic waves, participation, that we do create our reality, non-linearity, that our world is not concrete sequential, which is the way we've thought of it, non-duality. This is not a dualistic environment. Interdependence. We all, our activities affect and are affected by every other being in the universe. Adaptability. That the survival of the fittest is actually the survival of the most adaptable. And then cooperation. That we evolve through networking, not competition. So I'm looking forward to a more detailed discussion of these seven principles, Steve.
For sure. So these are, in a way, like these are the raw materials that we have to work with, right? I mean, these are the principles that underlie our reality. So once we understand that, we sort of understand how to move within that reality, and we can kind of also understand our potential, right?
That's right. That's right. And the most important thing is remembering that we are energetic waves within an energetic environment. Energy, not particles, is our reality. And in fact, if something is only one thing, it is an energy wave. It's not that if it's only one thing, it's a particle. It is an energy wave. Perhaps I could get into the first principle, Steve. What do you think?
Well, we're going to go to a break in just a couple minutes. I thought it might be great to sort of just, let's mention Einstein, you know, right? Because he really, this really was a game changer for humanity. As you mentioned, Newtonian physics, you know, Newtonian basically said, Newton said, if you're going to understand anything, you have to take it apart, right? And so our existence was based on physicality. If you couldn't see it, it wasn't really worth considering. And then Einstein came along and said, everything is made of energy. And he said that energy and mass are related. And not only are they related, but they're totally interchangeable, which basically says that we are energy, that everything around us is energy. And if you just look deep inside and deep inside and deeper and deeper and deeper, you basically get to space. And so I just find it so interesting that that's where you sort of can imagine that spirituality's ears went, aha, that at the core of everything is space, because emptiness is a huge word within spirituality. So it's this wonderful question.
Well, actually, I'm going to stop you right there, Steve, because when you use the word empty, people start to think of space as being nothing. But if you look out, for example, into the night sky, what you are looking at is a churning field of energy. You're not looking at nothing. You're looking at energy.
And I mean nothing as in pure potentiality. So nothingness is right. It's a very complicated word. Emptiness is a very complicated word. What I mean by that is pure potentiality. So, you know, that's sort of this framework of everything being energy. That's where we're going to go with this. Yeah. So let's take a break. And then when we come back, that first word of interconnectivity, that everything's interconnected and everything is an energy wave. We'll be right back. Hi, I'm Steve Kramer of Spirit Fire Radio, and I believe that meditation changes everything. It leads us in the direction of greater well-being, and that's a fact. I struggled with meditation for years. I understood the principles, but I found it hard to incorporate them into my everyday life. Spirit Fire's meditation practice changed that. It's called the Practice of Living Awareness, and it's taught in 14 steps. These are 14 tools that I can use in any moment, on and off the cushion. Steps like smile, flow, and ground of being support my clarity of mind while I'm navigating the ups and downs of modern life. That's why it's called the Practice of Living Awareness. If you'd like to add meditation to your daily experience, the Practice of Living Awareness is free, online, and it's suited for any level of practitioner. Visit spiritfire.com for more information. And be sure to check out Spirit Fire's meditation retreats in Western Massachusetts. It's all there at spiritfire.com.
Registration is now open for the 25th Annual Woman of Wisdom Conference. Join the fabulous presenters from around the country on February 16th through the 20th. If you believe in raising the feminine spirit and transforming our world, then this conference is for you. Get your tickets now. One day and full weekend passes are available. For more information about presenters and tickets, visit womanofwisdom.org. That's womanofwisdom.org.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
This is Sarah Luce from Small Steps Big Breakthrough Radio. I want to invite you to join me and women across the globe for my Sister Spirit Party, where we're going to be teaching you how to lose those limiting beliefs, toss the struggles, lose all the old stories that keep you stuck, so that you can leap fully into your power in 2017. Girl, the world needs you to shine right now. So please join us for this powerful and fun group mentoring called Sister Spirit Party. And now, till February 10th, I'm going to give you $50 off your enrollment. So go to sarahluce.com and enter your coupon code SISTER50 for your enrollment discount. Girl, we need you to shine. Join us. Join the Sister Spirit Party. Let's get your power on.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Dr. Dorothy Riddle and I are here talking about these principles that underlie our reality, both principles that underlie our reality and principles that govern how we coexist. So we're trying to understand humanity and our place within the universe. So we're going to start with interconnectivity. Dorothy, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. We're all energy.
Yes, Steve, we are all energy, and we all are interconnected energy waves. And while we may not recognize it all the time, whatever we think, not just what we do, but whatever we think affects the environment around us. We'll come back to that in the second principle. But we are these energetic waves that are part of a larger energetic field. So part of what we want to remember is that there is this organization of systems. We have, the easiest thing for us to think about is our bodies. We have all of these individual organs, but it's not the individual organs per se that are important. It's the energetic connections between them that become important. And then we are part of this biosphere, the Earth is part of the solar system. The solar system is part of the Milky Way, which is a galaxy, which is part of millions of galaxies that make up our cosmos. And scientists even talk about there being multiple cosmos. So we are within this energetic field, and within this energetic field, we are connected in the term that scientists use is non-local connectedness, entanglement. We are entangled energetically with other beings that are not necessarily in our visual field, that are in other places. And I want to read an excerpt from Brian Schwimm's book, The Hidden Heart of the Cosmos. He's a mathematical cosmologist. And to me, this passage really helps us to see what it is that that we're talking about. So the quote goes, "The universe emerges out of all-nourishing abyss, not only 15 billion years ago, but in every moment. Each instance, protons and antiprotons are flashing out of and are as suddenly absorbed back into all-nourishing abyss. All-nourishing abyss, then, is not a thing or a collection of things, nor even, strictly speaking, a physical place, but rather a power that gives birth and that absorbs existence at a thing's annihilation. The foundational reality of the universe is this unseen ocean of potentiality. If all the individual things of the universe were to evaporate, one would be left with an infinity of pure generative power." So, Steve, this speaks to exactly what you were talking about. And Brian Schwimm uses the term all-nourishing abyss to help people not think of empty as in there's nothing at all there. And I'd like to just repeat that last sentence because I think it's so powerful. If all the individual things of the universe were to evaporate, one would be left with an infinity of pure generative power.
Wow, yeah, it's beautiful. Quite beautiful. There's magic in there. You know, there's magic when we think of flashing in and flashing out. It actually makes me think of lifetimes as well, that when you look at us in terms of an organism, within this greater structure and you think of energy flashing in and energy flashing out, it almost makes me even think of our particular lifetime and ourselves. So there's so much magic in that quote. Really beautiful. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to add to that also that there's another concept that scientists talk about, the zero point field within that all nourishing abyss. So the zero point field is where there's no, quote, matter. The temperature is absolute zero, and yet energies are present. And the another scientist has given us this quote, the zero point field is the constant and enduring memory of the universe. It holds the energetic record of all that has happened on Earth and in the cosmos and relates it to all that is yet to happen. It facilitates the choices made by waveforms regarding how, that's the energetic waveforms, that regarding how they will appear in the physical world.
Mm.
So the underlying reality is this energetic field. These waveforms, and then they precipitate, you can think of it that way, into the material particles that we see and feel. But that's not all of reality. The actual undergirding reality is energy.
And all of it is connected, and all of it is related.
That's right.
Beautiful.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Yeah, we are literally physically in touch with the rest of the cosmos.
And, you know, when we think of that flashing in and out, we think of our cells. We think that cells come and go. How many cells in our body disappear and reappear, but yet the structure of our body stays here intact. And it's almost as if, you know, if we were going to speak in spiritual terms, when you mentioned in that last quote, the choice, you know, it is the choice and it is the idea, the notion of myself that keeps that form constant. While energy comes in and energy goes out, it's yet the form is still here almost by choice. It's mm-hmm. very interesting. I love that macro. Oh, go on.
Yeah, I just want to put one other thought in here, Steve. Which is, in spiritual terms, in the ageless wisdom, the great, what's called the great heresy, is separateness. In other words, our belief that we are actually separate from other parts of the universe and other parts of the cosmos. And that comes from believing that we are primarily this dense matter. So if I think of my body as being primarily or exclusively this dense matter, then I can say, ah, well, you see, I am separate from, I am a different individual from Steve or from Mary or from any other being because I'm looking at the boundaries of the dense physical matter. But that's, in fact, not who we are. We are the energetic, what's called, you know, the etheric physical being, not the physical being. And we see this, people who do Kirlian photography, people who see auras, what they're seeing is the energetic field as opposed to just the dense physical matter.
Oh, science has come such a long way in proving ways that we are beyond our physical bodies, that we actually are energy and that we affect each other on an energetic level. And so many studies that are really remarkable proving that. Even you just think about the fact that we can sense when somebody's coming up behind us, we can sense their energy. You know, we're connected in that way of just feeling somebody there. You know, I love that precipitation, that idea that we have precipitated down to the physical, but through that, in the process of that precipitation is a mind, is an emotion, and then onto our physical body. So we are all of those subtle components, and the mm-hmm. physical is just one aspect of it. But that, you know, it, science, I'd love to talk a little bit again about Newton, just to say that when we think about interconnectivity, that this idea of the physical, we've got machines now that can take a look at the physicality of something so massive like the sun and something so minuscule as the atom. We can look at the solar system. We can look at a cell, at the Earth. And if you take all of them apart, they all strikingly look very similar. So it says once again that we're all a part of this machine in a way, or this cosmic whole, and it's a replicating form, and that it's the macro and the micro, that it exists on every level. It's so fascinating.
Yeah. I'd just like to add, because we're so steeped, we may not realize that we're so steeped in the assumptions of Newtonian physics that we don't even realize it, even though the field of quantum physics has been around for at least 150 years, there are many ways in which it has not yet influenced our consciousness. Because in Newtonian physics thinks of the world as a machine, that word that you just used. And yet what quantum physics tells us is that it is relational. It is not causal. It is probabilistic. There are these many different, there's these mists of probabilities that exist as opposed to a single entity. And Newtonian physics is based on determinism, on cause and effect, and yet it is the potentiality of these possibilities that is what is real. And I'd like to use that, Steve, as a bridge to the second principle, which is participation.
Perfect.
That we create our own reality out of this mist of possibilities.
I can't wait to get into that. We're gonna have to go to a break in a minute, so I'm sorry to interrupt you, because that's going to be such a great conversation. And indeed, I love that, you know, we have to have these stepping stones, and you sense that we are really on the verge of understanding something so magnificent when it comes to quantum physics. So we're going to take a break and then really get into that, to participation in ways that we create our own reality. So we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Have you wanted to make more money without working harder or more? Maybe you've tried new ways to bring in extra income without success. Hi, my name is Deb Acker, and in addition to being the host of Truth Talk Radio, I'm an intuitive life coach and energy healer. I clear energy blocks to all areas of life, including abundance. Did you know many times we have an invisible income ceiling? So no matter what we do, our income never goes up, or if our income does go up, we experience an unexpected expense that negates this. How much would it be worth to significantly increase your income or even have unexpected income show up? When I was in the corporate world, I used these techniques to increase my income by tens of thousands of dollars without changing my work routine. In fact, I worked even less, and I now help clients do the same. If this resonates for you and you're truly ready for abundance in your life, I'd love to gift you with my pattern identification session. Simply contact me on the contact page of my website, deborahacker.com. That's deborahacker.com. And let me know you heard about this gift through Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to connecting soon.
Curious about the meaning of life? Do you want to deepen your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. The school also organizes group meditations each year to benefit humanity. Whether you're just beginning to reflect on the spiritual side of your life or are a more experienced spiritual seeker, the school warmly welcomes you to join our group. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit esotericstudies.net. That's esotericstudies.net.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Just before the break, we were talking about the concept of quantum physics. I have a feeling we could have a year's worth of shows and just be picking your brain, Dorothy, to talk about quantum physics. It's such a fascinating new science, and it is going to inform us so much about our reality the more we know about it. So I'd love for you to talk about participation and the ways, how does participation relate to quantum science?
Well, the what quantum science tells us is that there is a certain level on which the universe literally doesn't exist until we observe and interpret it. We do, in fact, create our own reality, which is what the metaphysical teachings tell us. They tell us that energy follows thought. Whatever we're thinking of, that's what precipitates. Now, this can be a challenging concept for some people. So let me give an example. Let's say that you and a group of your friends who live in very different places, maybe Vermont, Chicago, California, Texas, you all want to get together for a reunion. And each of you are making a case for why it should be in your location. So that's the mist of possibilities, these various locations. And as soon as you make a decision about which place, let's say Chicago, then that mist of probabilities collapses, that's the word that's used, collapses into the single point. And the reality becomes that you're going to meet in Chicago. But it wasn't always the reality. There were these possibilities before. So as we observe, the process of observation or the process of interpretation or the process of decision restricts the possibilities to one option. And that's what the participation principle is all about, that the attribution of meaning that we give or the choices that we make is what actually creates our reality.
So that actually happens on a very physical level as well. I mean, that happens on the level of observable matter, well, that we couldn't observe, but that very sophisticated scientific machines can observe. So like electrons and photons, I am personally, so I have a sense that throughout this, I'm going to be the humble student fearlessly asking very simple questions in the face of very complex ideas. And I'm fine with that. But, you know, I'm very interested in quantum mechanics, and I'm slowly wrapping my head around it. And this I know, that so just as Einstein said that if you look inside of an atom, there is nothing but energy, these little vortices of energy that come and go. And we have seen that electrons and photons can be both particle and wave. And we only experience one at a time. And so once there's an observer, it changes the whole paradigm. So what happens from quantum physics is that as soon as an observer walks in the room, as soon as there's an observer in this situation, everything changes. And all that's not being observed then falls away and actually disappears out of existence. Am I putting that in the proper terms?
Yep, you are. But, you know, Steve, I'd like to, we can also put this in everyday interaction terminology. Yeah. So
well,
let's say
well
that I'm talking to somebody,
Yeah.
And I believe that they are hostile to me, and that that they are whatever they do, they want to harm me. So I listen to what they say, and I listen with that filter, and I hear what they say in a very negative way. I could have a conversation with that same person, and if the filter that I bring is that I believe them to be a compassionate person, they may make some mistakes, but their heart is in the right place, I will hear what they say in a very different way. Mm-hmm. And so that's the participation. It's the expectations, the interpretation, the assumptions that I'm bringing to the situation.
Yes, yes. And then once you bring truth to it, or once you've pinpointed an idea, or you participate in a very particular way, then all of the other potentialities or probabilities or, you know, potential ideas you may have fall away, because you are now observing with this intention or with this idea, correct?
That's right. That's right. And then we have other situations. For example, most people will be aware of optical illusions, you know, the woman, the profile versus the vase, or, you know, there are right. other examples of optical illusions. So the physical drawing remains the same, but its meaning changes based on how we perceive it. That's another example of participation.
Nice. So you can kind of see then that the difference, right, between Newtonian certainties, that we are certain that the world looks like this, and these are the parts of the world, and this is the way they work. But then you add this component of, yes, that is so, but it is constantly changing based on our participation, and that is actually the way reality is formed. Mm-hmm. Yeah? It's by our observation that certain parts will come together and others fall away. And we're learning on a quantum level that the falling away is actually matter disappearing, that it's not just it's actual. That's pretty astounding.
Mm-hmm. And we can bring in another concept here, which relates to participation, and that's neuroplasticity, which there's a lot of work in this area from different perspectives, neurobiology, neuroeconomics. But the underlying principle is that we can continue to shape who we are, that we are not, again, the Newtonian model would be we're born, this is the way we are, we have a genetic heritage, we have, you know, whatever our memories are formed, and that's it. But that's not actually the reality. The reality is that we continually change, or we have the potential to continually change.
Right.
And one area in which people may be unaware that we do actively continually change is our memories. We have, from the Newtonian model, many of us have adopted the idea that our memories are kind of like a filing cabinet. You know, you put the memory in and it's there. It stays, it's static, you pull it back out and you get it exactly the way it was. Well, anybody that works with witnesses knows that that's not actually the way people's minds operate, because our minds try to help us by snipping away bits of memory that doesn't fit with other perceptions that we've had, by trying to condense things together to be efficient. And it also changes the emotional coloring every time we take out the memory and we tell somebody about it. The way that we describe it, the emotion that we bring to it, subtly changes that memory. So we are actually always undergoing this process of creating through participation.
Ah, that's so beautifully said. You know, I think of neuroplasticity, it makes me think of epigenetics as well, which is also that move from Newtonian toward a quantum idea that we participate in our form. Because basically, as we wanted to understand who we reduced and reduced and reduced until we got to DNA. And we thought, well, okay, our DNA basically dictates our world, that if my parents had a certain genetic disease, that I'm going to be predisposed to that disease. And now we're learning that that's not true at all, that actually our DNA changes as a result of our environment. Epigenetics say that our DNA isn't exactly going to be isn't our fate. So once again, we see that the choices we make has a very direct effect on our reality, building our physical reality and our biology, our thoughts, our emotions. It's fascinating.
Yeah. And to make it very, very practical, what we put in is what we get back out. And so what that means is if what I put in to my awareness is a constant stream of news about violence and hatred. I watch movies where people are being killed left, right, and center, or other forms of violence are happening. I am going to gradually develop an attitude that the world is very unsafe and that I need to be cautious, I need to be guarded. Whereas if I put in information about compassionate acts, ways in which people are helpful to each other, movies, the happy ending movies about how people relate well to each other, I will develop an attitude towards the world that this is a place where I need to be open to people and I need to be working with people and trying to understand other people. So we affect our own personal reality by the way that we participate in the sense of taking in stimulus.
Energy. Stimuli. Yeah, energy following thought. How do we actually build our lives? And we've got that choice. That's up to us. That's the freedom of being a human being, is it not?
That's right.
We're going to go to a break and then we're going to come back. And what's next? What's the next topic?
We're going to talk about nonlinearity, that our world is not causal.
Oh, that's going to be a good one. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for the perfect setting for your next workshop or retreat? At Spirit Fire Meditative Retreat Center, cultivating consciousness is what we do best. Our guests count on us to create an atmosphere that supports serenity and well-being. We lead from the heart and create space for the mind. Freshly prepared meals designed with local and organic ingredients, 95 acres of beautiful woods and pastures, and a facility built with green in mind. This is what you'll find at Spirit Fire. For more information, visit spiritfireretreatcenter.com.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
This is Sarah Luce from Small Steps Big Breakthrough Radio. I want to invite you to join me and women across the globe for my Sister Spirit Party, where we're going to be teaching you how to lose those limiting beliefs, toss the struggles, lose all the old stories that keep you stuck, so that you can leap fully into your power in 2017. Girl, the world needs you to shine right now. So please join us for this powerful and fun group mentoring called Sister Spirit Party. And now, till February 10th, I'm going to give you $50 off your enrollment. So go to sarahluce.com and enter your coupon code SISTER50 for your enrollment discount. Girl, we need you to shine. Join us. Join the Sister Spirit Party. Let's get your power on.
Interested in deepening your spiritual practice? The School for Esoteric Studies offers online training to spiritual seekers from all paths of life and individual coaching. Our courses synthesize Eastern and Western spiritual traditions based on meditation, study, and service applied to everyday life. To learn more about our courses and services, please visit www.esotericstudies.net.
Is an ever-changing being. Goddess Light, shamanic healer, Bree Gibbs guides us through the ascending worlds, bringing forth knowledge and truth. As a light creator, she is here to provide new information needed at this time in our evolution. Join Bree as she shares messages from guides, spirits, ascended masters, goddesses, and others. Tune in the second and fourth Monday, 11 a.m. Pacific, and Thursdays, 1 p.m. Pacific, for Silver Gaia Radio.
Welcome back to Spirit Fire Radio. Dr. Dorothy Riddle and I have been talking about the principles that underlie our reality. This month on Spirit Fire Radio, we're talking about our human family, understanding our human family. So we're talking about science. What does science have to say about the structure of our reality that governs our human experience? So far, we've had really delightful conversation talking about interconnectivity, participation, and now we're going to move on to non-linearity. So what does science have to say about non-linearity? Dorothy?
Well, this is a really interesting area. The scientists talk about a space-time continuum. And, you know, the Newtonian model was that time is absolute and that it is sequential, whereas what we know now is that time is relative. And it's not sequential in the way of, you know, going from past to present to future. That's actually a construct that we as humans place on experience just to be able to understand it. But if we think about time as relative, and we think about our own personal experience, I'm sure we can remember times when time seemed to just crawl. You know, we were waiting for something, and it took forever. And then there are other times when it seemed like time went by so quickly, and we wished it would slow down. So we already have that subjective sense of it. But it's also, for example, if you go out at night and you look up in the sky, you're not seeing the present. You think you are, but you're actually seeing the distant past. The stars that you see, that's light traveling towards us over, you know, a long time period. So we are in the middle of this space-time continuum, and there are some very practical ramifications. Any of our listeners that work in healing traditions know that it is possible to go back and heal the past. The past doesn't have to be a static event that forever affects you in a negative way. You can actually go back and change it and heal it so that when you bring up that memory of what happened, you never, ever have the negative feeling associated with it that you had before. Maybe, Steve, I can give just one quick example. Is that okay?
Sure. I'm loving it. Go on.
Yeah. So I actually grew up primarily in India and in a context where most of the time I went to a boarding school up in the Himalayan mountains. And when I was young, my father got a very bad case of hepatitis, and he and my mother and my younger brothers and sisters left in order to take him to another hospital. And so I went into boarding when I was five, and I emotionally separated from my family. I won't go into lots of details, but basically I did not have a positive relationship with my mother from that point on until I was in my late 20s. And I still can recall very clearly this conversation that we had when I realized that at the time that my father was so ill, she was in a bind. In order to get to the hospital, she had to walk for miles through the mountains. And if she went to the hospital to be with her husband, then she was accused of neglecting her children. And if she stayed with her children and didn't make the long trek to the hospital, then she was accused of neglecting her husband. So there she was, caught. And I realized that at that point in time, she was younger than I was at the moment that I was sitting with her. And my feeling about what happened in that time shifted entirely. I felt so close to her, and she remained my closest friend until her death. So that to me is an interesting example of being able to go back in time and change one's experience of a particular event.
Wow, we can all relate to that, some sort of experience. I mean, that is quite the tremendous experience, but we can all relate to that on some level. And you can sense how that story is related to participation and interconnectivity, in that you had a new awareness about this situation. And as soon as you came to that truth and that new now, all the rest fell away. So you can see how you shaped your reality quite literally. And that time was an aspect there. That's wonderful. It's fascinating. I also see how, you know, we often, if we don't want something to end, without going into my childhood, that reminds me of time I used to spend with my grandmother, which was so precious to me. She raised me when I was an infant, and I used to count down, you know, when I was going to go back with my family, my nuclear family. And that time would just go so fast. I would start at the day before the day it was going to happen. And you realize that what's happening is my focus was then on the end. It was on what was going to happen at the end of this time, and therefore that which was actually happening now and in between the now and this event was starting to fall away, because my only focus was on the end point. And so time actually sped up and brought me to that moment of when I would be leaving. So that all just came to me while you were telling the story as well, as we, the way that time is affected by what we're focused on in the now. Amazing. Wow. So Dorothy, that's been a whole show, because I want to spend some time at the end here to tell people a bit about our organizations, and let the listeners know that we've only just begun. This is going to be a conversation that's going to continue next week. These seven principles are really fascinating, and we will come back to them all year. So it's wonderful that we get a really full understanding of them. Interconnectivity, I'm just going to list them because the words are amazing. Interconnectivity, participation, nonlinearity. So we've covered those today. We're going to talk about non-duality. That's a big one. And interdependence, adaptability, and cooperation. We're going to try to get those in on the next show. So we certainly hope that you'll join us. But in the last few minutes, Dorothy, why don't you tell the listeners a little bit about the School for Esoteric Studies? There's so much to offer from that organization. So I'd love to hear about it.
Yes. Thank you, Steve. And people that want to know more about the school you can go to our website at esotericstudies.net. So that's esotericstudies.net. So the mission of the school is to provide structured, sequenced, esoteric discipleship training grounded in the ageless wisdom in order to produce world servers. And I think that that's really important. What the school does, it provides its training by correspondence. It does that purposely, because it's not a matter of learning these particular concepts and developing, looking to some external expert. We see the soul as the teacher. And the purpose is not just individual development, individual spiritual insight, but world servers. In other words, being able to apply spiritual principles in everyday life. So we do this through meditation, through study. People get individual coaching in terms of commentary on their written work, and then through service.
Beautiful. Listeners, again, just to tell you the web address, which is esotericstudies.net. There is a wealth of information on esotericism, on the ageless wisdom, and ways that really you can get involved in your own life, create a purposeful life. Just fantastic work. And it just makes me so thrilled. I know we are going to have such a journey together, Dorothy. This is the first show of many, and it was great. And I look so forward to sharing what both of our organizations have to offer. I am representing Spirit Fire and Dorothy with the School for Esoteric Studies. So together, this awesome collaboration this season, which is Spirit Fire Radio. So go to spiritfireradio.com. We're going to list a number of the topics that we've got going on for this whole year. And we invite you to ask some questions if you're interested in these principles we've been talking about. Anything that comes up in the conversation, just send us an email and we'd love to answer your questions. And we'll be back next week.
And that email address is spiritfireradio@spiritfire.com.
Perfect. And you can find a button as well on spiritfireradio.com. All right, listeners, it's been great. We hope you'll join us next week. We're going to continue the conversation.
Thank you for listening to Spirit Fire Radio. Tune in each Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern for your weekly guide to purposeful living and practical spirituality. Join hosts Steve Kramer and Dorothy Riddle as they shine the light on universal spiritual principles and uncover ways that ageless wisdom can guide you in cultivating consciousness in your everyday life. Add to your awareness with Spirit Fire Radio. To learn more, visit spiritfireradio.com.